the obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Rahimi and Harris.
Who is calling on our score hotline? It's brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois.
Who calling?
Hey! Ozzy.
You have been very great news to see. You got your own show. You earn it. You deserve it. Now you have it.
Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score.
It's a balancing act with the rookies here right now because some are a little bit more in shape than others. So we want to be smart with how we're taking care of their bodies, and we're not pushing them too hard and have the soft tissue things pop up already. So the tempo of practice right now might be a little bit slower than what it will be in the future.
That was Ben Johnson after the three-day rookie minicamp that was at Halas Hall. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Rohde on The Score. And it was one of our five-on-it questions, but we thought it would make a better topic. And that was perhaps either what your biggest takeaway was, or I believe the wording was what your favorite nugget was from Bears rookie minicamp. And that actually was one of them for me, was Ben Johnson talking about how to prevent and the shape that he was concerned the athletes were in when it came to soft tissue injuries. That was up there for me in the discussion.
I mean, that's important because we see it every year, soft tissue injuries, and you start wondering, okay, what's wrong with this guy? Are they doing the right things to prevent and maintain these professional athletes? Because the best ability is still availability. And I just worry with every team. This isn't a football thing. This is every team that I've ever covered, followed, cheered for, whatever. Health is always that thing that if you get too comfortable, you take it for granted. Next thing you know, somebody's got a pulled hamstring, a strained oblique, shoulder tightness. There's just so many different things that can go wrong.
I agree with that. My nugget would be the continued, I suppose, this is probably exaggerating, breathless reporting over.
Breathless.
And excitement over.
This is about the hype train?
I don't like doing this, but over seventh round draft pick and running back, Kyle Manungai, it's just hilarious. Like seeing the video of him and the comments from people, oh, that looks good out there. Man, this guy could be something. We did this with Khalil Herbert to some degree. Khalil Herbert, a former sixth round, he was fine. Like, Khalil Herbert was fine. They got what they could get out of a sixth-round pick. But everybody was ready to say goodbye to Khalil. Does anybody remember Khalil Herbert?
I don't know that they were ready to say goodbye as much as the Bears traded him.
They
were, but I don't know that I was necessarily.
Oh, you were team Khalil Herbert? Keep Khalil Herbert on so he can get caught from behind a few more times while running down the middle of the field? I mean,
are you saying Manungai's not going to get caught from behind?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Did he get past the line of scrimmage? Because if so, that's a plus.
No, that's true. Oh, I see, which is relative to what happened.
Yep.
I feel you on that. But on the overall, though, and this is something we do in Chicago, and I get it. I'm probably complicit with it at times. We get really excited about, even though it's not an era of running back, when there's a new running back drafted on this team, it's probably because of the history of great running backs that have existed with the Bears, that our senses are a little bit more heightened when it comes to running backs in this town because of Walter Payton and Gale Sayers and Neil Anderson and Aunt Thomas Jones and Matt Forte and on and on and on. We get excited about disproportionately. We are there again with Kyle Manungai, the seventh round running back that doesn't have a lot of speed, but he's big and strong and he's got a great story and all that. And maybe that's where it stays. Maybe this is just a May story that we get excited about. And I'm sure I'll be tweeting about it once I hit training camp in the OTAs. But I'm just a little concerned about the excitement over the seventh round draft.
But Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the Bears coaching staff, as they stepped up to the mic, explain whether that was the running backs coach, Eric Bieniemy, or the offensive coordinator, Declan Doyle, that there is playing time for Kyle Manungai to have? It is available to him?
They say that kind of stuff every... There's playing time available to everybody.
No,
right
there's
now.
Not. There's not,
competition
though.
Everywhere. Oh, I know. I know that. And that's why he's probably not going to get a whole hell of a lot of playing time out there. Well, unless he can out... I don't know. I guess... I guess the other side of it would be the Roschon Johnson side. Like, can he be better than Roschon Johnson? A fifth round pick for the Bears? The you know, that everybody thought that he was the big hope for the Bears in that?
That's my issue with this, is so many times we are caught repeating the talking points of those who are trying to justify their decision. Right. And then when we push back, then we're labeled negative or horrible or whatever else.
You That's guys why I was careful ahead. In my pushback.
No, but I'm talking about like listeners right, or whatever right. else. Like, oh, why are you saying this? Because sometimes somebody has to say it.
Yes.
Like, I understand that you're thrilled as a team that you got the best backup running back in the NCAA. My issue is there's more than 100 programs in Division I, and you still drafted a backup running back.
Yeah, and you know what?
And that's a relative question mark.
And here's the thing. The Bears know that, too.
And I'm not talking about Mononga. I'm talking about the hemming and hawing that went on and on about Roschon Johnson. And I wanted Roschon Johnson to succeed.
Of course.
And the book is not done on him. But it talks about and illustrates the obsession with wish casting over these late round running backs that's really unduly putting pressure on them.
The Bears know that too. They know that a seventh round pick is a coin flip. They understand this. I'm not saying the Bears don't understand.
No, but we're the ones who still repeat their talking points.
We are doing it. Right.
Well,
right.
I think the other thing is with this specifically, because he was drafted and we knew their need was running back and he was the only one drafted, it's hard not to say this guy's going to get some type of run doing something. Although, at the end of the day, Layla, you make a great point. Seventh round draft picks can easily end up on the scrap heap. Yes. Easily.
Yeah. It's just the way it goes. Yeah.
So
same with the sixth round pick.
With this team, third round on.
Uh-huh.
I mean, hate to be the bearer of obvious news again, but that's been the case.
There's no third round pick here, though, this year.
Nobody's safe. You know, and thusly they shouldn't be if they're not providing appropriate production at the NFL level. We are broadcasting live through the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And I want to remind you that this Friday, May 16th, head to Coombs Corner in Lockport after the big game. Enjoy Yuengling game day bucket specials for $12. Score some Yuengling swag plus live music later that night. Don't miss the post-game party this Friday night at Coombs Corner.
May I read a text really quickly here from the 847? Grody is complaining about the own narrative that he himself writes about, question mark. Is that what I heard there? I think you're conflating me with our teammate Chris Emma. I do believe that might be a Chris Emma take, but I don't want to slander Emma.
We're not
either.
All the same, and we don't all have the same
opinions. Right, and I don't write. I am not a writer.
Also, 847 on the said text line. A backfield of Swift, Johnson, and Mononga. I say guy because he spells it G-U-Y in all caps, that particular part, because that must be his guy.
Mononga!
Could be effective based on line play and scheme, but it's not the best situation. I think that is a very reasonable take. I'm waiting to see what happens if they go out and get what Layla says they need, which is another running back. But overall, my biggest takeaway from rookie minicamp is just that Ozzie Trapello, what's up, starting left tackle? Mm-hmm. Let's see how this goes, because I think it's real, and I think there's a real possibility that week one he will be your starting left tackle.
Yeah.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
I like Ozzie Trapello. I think he thinks he's capable of the role, and a lot of times that's what matters the most. One of my biggest impressions from what we heard was the Dennis Allen experience. Number one, how many times did he happily or emphatically talk about guys who can run? The way he said it, even, like, there's a tone there. I feel like that's a trigger. So I understand why Ruben Hypolite, for example, got drafted, because he can run. Like, the way you heard Dennis Allen and how passionately he talked about people who can run, that was evident that he wants speed out of his defense.
Speed and maybe some power and size mixed in, but speed seems to be the overwhelming trait that was the focus, right?
Yeah, I like guys to wrap up and make tackles myself.
I'll give you guys another one. But first, I would like to read the following to you. Tune in to the Raheemy and Harris Show on 670 The Score all week for your chance to win tickets to see The Who on Sunday, September 7th at the United Center. Tickets go on sale this Friday, May 16th. I heard a story. I think it was Chris Emma, actually, that I was listening to on the radio with Steve Rosenblum.
Actually, it's Zapillo.
Oh, yeah, Zapillo, right, who was on Bears 2. He is the right tackle for Bears 2. But I heard Chris Emma talking about Shamar Turner and how Shamar Turner turned down a ride. He could have gotten a ride on the golf cart out to Field 4, which is a little bit of a hike. And so, you know, like to conserve your energy. He said he wanted to walk and take it all in and just enjoy the experience. And so much of that, there's not a lot to derive, obviously, from what reporters are seeing on the field this weekend at Halas Hall. But it's all about the orientation and the feeling that the rookies have and implementing the very, very basics of the playbook and things like that. And I love it when guys really appreciate the moment, and I'm sure a lot of them do, but some guys more than others, and I just got the feeling that second-round rookie Shamar Turner really appreciated and enjoyed it and really appreciates being with the Chicago Bears.
Do we have the Dennis Allen audio? Is like the first thing he said in his availability on Saturday where he basically told everybody to relax. That cracked me up, just the way he sat down and took the podium, and he was like, okay, guys. And my notes were, Dennis Allen opens up telling everyone to slow their roll. That cracked me up, the way he put it, because he was just like, okay, guys, it's rookie minicamp. Like, nothing groundbreaking is going to happen here. I'm paraphrasing, but it was a funny way that he put it, because we're so, again, breathlessly asking questions.
Oh, yeah, and if I was out there, I would be breathlessly asking questions, too. We're all looking, like, as reporters, for the right tone, the right tenor.
You ascertain from 3 days of rookies basically at freshman orientation?
You know what this season is? This part of the season is really where we all ask, what about Danks? In some way, shape, or form. Because you're just asking about individuals that you have questions about.
Oh, yeah. Anything goes. This is like, we may not be asking about Luke Newman a lot in week three. We might not be talking about Ruben Hippolyte. God bless Ruben Hippolyte and the speed that he has. We may not be asking. This is really our only time to be asking about such
players. Training camp, too, right? But this is it. Until the actual season begins.
Right.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is once we get to the next, even OTAs and into training camp, like you're talking about, there will be other players there that we know will have more significant roles than the group that was assembled at Halas Hall this past weekend.
Veteran minicamp will be a thing. I mean, that's when we'll see those new interior guys. We'll see Grady Jarrett, in effect, Dio Dangbo, everybody. And then we really start to see where things start to line up. So that's when we get to ascertain actual potential information.
When I make my assessments, I like the guys to actually have pads on.
Which is very rare, man. So we
I don't know, man. Dennis Allen is thrilled about the track meet going on the defense.
Are we playing flag football? Is that what
you heard him, though, didn't you guys?
Yeah, I did.
Like,
I did.
Pressure. Yes.
Za Frazier, why'd you draft him? He can run. The way he said it was so passionate.
Pressure
on. But Marshall, that's you have to be able to evaluate these guys without the pads on.
Yeah, because they don't wear pads like they used to.
Because they don't wear pads like they used to. Exactly. And even when they do wear the pads, it's, as they call it, thud. You know what I mean? It's not real. There are some actual live, like where they really go live, as they call it, but maybe once or twice where you really feel like they're hitting.
The big issue, too, is just that we've so many times seen a Bears team not prepared once the actual game started.
Practice
just is rendered confusing.
You take me back to a dark place now, because that whole lead up, build up.
That's it. That's what you have. But he's right. Mark is right. You have to do some evaluation of these guys.
It's hard.
With the tools that you have.
Running backs, you can't. It's really hard. Offensive line, it's almost impossible.
Thankfully,
to
between
evaluate.
This veteran laden coaching staff that they have, they should be able to make better assessments than the last coaching staff.
I'd like to think so. I mean, in theory, for sure. I mean, there's a credibility factor. The resumes that exist for these guys are real, but we've seen those kinds of things fall apart in the past, too.
Yes, we have.
Mm-hmm.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.